Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
Oh, am I Warren?
I'm Cornell.
And I'm Cam. And we nailed that.
Take two.
Got it in one, guys.
Yeah, got it in one. Got it in one. We're going to keep that. All right. Well, Cam, you're going to let us know what we're drinking today.
Yeah. So I was over on the island for work up in the Courtney Comox area. And
beautiful area.
It is,
right,
yeah.
Around when tasting rooms were allowed to open again, luckily. Oh. So Gladstone was open, so I stopped in and had a beer on the patio there. And then I hadn't tried out Ace Brewing yet. So
yeah, pretty new brewery. I was there last spring when they were still building. They were just about finished building the place. They hadn't opened yet.
Yeah, yeah, and nice little tasting room. They've got they were actually in the middle of building a patio when they opened, so they put out a bunch of kind of cinder blocks and built a patio in their parking lot, so they've got an outdoor seating area now. Decent-sized tasting room and really good selection of beers.
Yeah, the tasting room is kind of unique. It's like an octagon or something like that, right? And it's the roof is peaked in the middle with some sunlights and stuff.
Yeah, really cool. It's actually an old car dealership.
Yeah, I was reading that too.
Yeah, so it's
a pretty cool space.
It's like the showroom is the tasting room, so it's pretty awesome.
Nice.
And cool. Yeah, decorated with a bunch of old Air Force memorabilia and stuff. They've got a model plane hanging from the ceiling and old Air Force flags and stuff, RCAF memorabilia.
That's kind of the feeling you get from the branding, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a Spitfire hanging from the ceiling, I believe, the replica.
Yeah, yeah, really? That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. And it's the food program's pretty good, too. I suggest the Donair nachos. They were killer. And the pretzel with beer cheese is a good little snack too. So, but as far as beer, we've got a pretty good selection here. Warren, I brought a sample of the triple that they did, their Belgian triple.
Unfortunately, only available in crowlers.
Yes, so not but, everybody got one, but man.
Thank you, Cam, for bringing this back. This is one of the best Belgian triples I've ever had in my entire life.
Wow.
That is
so good. It was so good. It's 9%, but you would never be able to tell. Not warm, not hot at all. The alcohol is virtually undetectable. And the flavors and the balances were perfect. The spiciness balanced with the banana of the Belgian yeast, just bang on. And it was a very light version. It wasn't too sweet, too malty, anything like that. It was absolutely delicious. Very well done.
No, nice. It was beautifully balanced. I had it on tap, and then immediately I knew Warren's a big Belgian beer fan. So I was like, well, I got to bring one for him. So,
yeah, thank you very much. It was really good.
Jealous.
Yeah, I'm jealous too.
Yeah, like I knew I should have brought back more, but four packs and two crowlers was already expensive enough.
I bet.
I'm gonna have to be completely honest and tell everybody I've already drank my samples a week ago. So when you start getting into them, I'll probably just drop out.
Oh, thanks for stopping in, big guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I wanted to make sure everybody knows how good the triple was, because it was absolutely phenomenal.
Because hearing about it is nearly as good as tasting it.
That's why Paul knows this, right? Get some.
But yeah, if you're ever up in Courtney Comox, then I highly suggest you stop in there. They also had a nitro stout on that was very tasty, like perfect roastiness, not overly sweet, good, like a dark chocolate flavor and coffee too. It was great. But let's get into the beers we're actually going to drink tonight.
Yeah,
well, what are we starting off with? Your Spitfire Lager.
Yeah,
5%.
Say anything else? There's lots of Looks like lots of notes about the Spitfire in the art on the can.
Yeah, it says, like legendary local World War II flying ace, stocky F. Edwards, this Hell-style lager with Canadian prairie malts and noble hops will always rise to the occasion. And then it says, to learn more about Stocky Edwards, visit stockyfun.ca.
That's kind of cool.
www in front of it.
Very interesting.
Yes.
That's 5%, so, 22 IBUs.
It definitely looks like a yellow fizzy lager. Pretty damn clear.
Yeah, it's very clear. That's for sure.
It's got kind of that grainy nose going on. Not a lot of hop presence on the nose.
No, it's very easy to the scent. Like you said, little grainy, nothing else going on. But let's see how it tastes.
Still grainy. It's got a bit of a fruit flavor going on.
Yeah, get a little like banana-ish or something like going in there.
I'm not sure. It's for me, it's almost a citrusy or a very generic fruit.
Yeah. What do you have to say there, Cornell?
I'm just laughing at generic fruit. Yes, Green Grocer. Do you have any generic in?
yeah, I don't know.
It's bready and it's sweet. I know Hellas are supposed to be sweet, but it's a little too sweet for my taste, even so. Yeah, I mean,
it's not your typical lager like normally you taste. I get the breadiness. I'm not getting like the normal lager feel. I know it's a Hell's, but I don't know. It's not there for me.
I'm the wrong person to ask.
Noble hops, as I'd like to, right? Like, I'd like to get more of that noble hops off it against that, like, bit of sweetness. Because, you know what? The sweetness is quite nice, actually. But
it's easy to sip on.
Yeah. If it was matched up a little more heavily against, like, a better or a stronger hop backbone, I think it'd be, you know, really on then.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. Lagers aren't really our strong suit in this podcast here, so we may be a little.
Well, other than Carnell.
He likes his Pilsners. He's a crispy boy.
I won't even say that word.
You've said it multiple times on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. It makes me violently ill.
Oh, we like our hazy boys over here.
All right, let's talk about another beer then.
Yeah, let's do it. It's not hitting the spot for me.
All right, so the next beer we were going to try is the Kitty Hawk Honey Cream Ale. It's 5.2% alcohol. This one's got a long one. Carnell, why don't you read that?
All right. Fast and well-armed Kitty Hawk aircraft were instrumental in the RCAF's successful defense against Japanese attacks to the North American West Coast before moving overseas to help the Allied forces defeat Germany and win WW2 in 1945. This smooth drinking cream ale with local honey is a tribute to those heroic pilots serving for the 111 Squadron out of Victoria, BC.
Hear that, Nazis? We won.
What's that?
Hey, man. There's a show about that. The Man on High Castle. It's awesome. I recommend it. But back to the beer.
This one's a little bit darker.
Mine poured really heavy with a head. Might have just been my bad pour, but I don't know.
Hey, Warren. Can you, like, remind me? Or I guess
Warren left.
He left? Oh.
Yeah, he's gone.
Okay, so why don't I just wax on then until he gets back?
No, he's gone. He just fucked off.
Oh, he gone.
Yeah. He did his Belgian pluggy out.
Oh, shoot. I'm going to have to do some looking. I guess I'm going to have to do some Googling. Because I was going to ask Warren, I always get confused what the cream ale is because you would think it has something to do with cream, but it doesn't. The cream refers to the mouthfeel.
It does have that mouthfeel in this beer, though, that's for sure.
But I think the mouthfeel comes from the oats.
Why don't you Google it?
I'm going to Google it.
All right. Well, like I was saying, this one's definitely a darker color. It's slightly hazier than crystal clear. My head disappeared really fast on the pour.
My head's hanging around like a motherfucker.
This beer is not as sweet on the aroma.
No, but you get that honey in it, though.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Like, I've had a couple cream ales lately. And this is comparing pretty well to it. I had Russell Brewing's, their 25th anniversary of the cream ale. And it's got the same creaminess. It's a little lighter, but it's still got the flavors coming out through. Like, I don't know what I'm feeling about it, but it's good.
Yeah, it's definitely got that honey and maltiness going on in the flavor. Very, very mild hops in it. Easy drinking.
Very mild. Oh, yeah. I could slam this back easily.
I could drink more of this than I could of the lager, for sure.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not a lager guy. Never have been, ever since I got into craft beer and I gave up the Canadians, Budweiser's, Kokanee's, all the what I call trash beer now.
Yeah.
But what my dad drinks. Sorry, Dad.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so saying straightforward, it's a solid beer. Something I could drink easily on a patio, have a nice meal with if you compare something nice with it. Maybe some like a nice chicken dinner or something like that. But yeah, I'd give it like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, it's nice, inoffensive. What did you think of this one, Cam? Did you try it?
I did try it when I was at the tasting room.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It was a hot day when I was there, actually, and it was like perfect for like I didn't know what to get. I'm not a lager guy, but I wanted something a little lighter. So I went, oh, cream ale sounds like a good intro, just to kind of see how everything is. And like, it's bang on style, I think.
Yeah,
I agree.
And you get a nice hit of honey from it that is a little bit different. So, I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm liking it too. It'd be pretty cool to find out where they source the honey from, because I know like whatever you get it from, if it's like a raspberries or like wherever the bees are pollinating from, you always get a different flavor. So
yeah, they did say it is local, but that's all the info that they gave.
That's too bad. They should elaborate. If you're listening, Ace Brewing, elaborate.
I just sent a link there, Carnell.
Sent a link?
I did. Oh, you're on your phone, aren't you?
Oh, I was just reading about cream ales.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
It literally says, what is a cream ale?
Yeah, I'm reading that one.
This is going to be the worst podcast ever.
It's a marketing thing for American breweries to make something that could compete with German-style lagers and cream. The word cream denoted something of quality, I guess. But yeah, I think I prefer it to the lager personally. The only thing that gets me is I'm not a big fan of honey and beer. It reminds me of like the, mid to late 2000s, where that was always a gateway sort of thing for beer. And I just find honey, it's sickly sweet in beer, but I do like the base beer that, this cream ale, but that sweet back end gets me, but that's just me personally. I like the color on it too.
Color's decent. Yeah. I'm liking the honey factor in it. It would be like I said, it'd be cool to know how the honey came about. Like, I've had some really good ones locally in like Pitt Meadows Maple Ridge area. And you know, we're known for blueberries and cranberries. So some of the local breweries use the blueberry honey in their brews and do a honey brown or something. And it's prominent. You get the sweetness of a blueberry and a honey brown.
That'd be good.
It's a cool thing to do. So, like, locally sourced honey is pretty dope if you get it from the right spot.
Yeah, it sure can be. I love the fact that honey can have so many different flavors depending on what the bee was snacking on.
Exactly. But out of the two, I agree with Cornell. Cream ale is much better. Pitter patter.
I guess I poured too much.
get it in ya. All right. Well, since I gave away all my mixers to everybody, they were unfortunately out of four packs of the West Coast IPA, the Jet Fuel, but I got a single, and I've been hoarding it for this occasion. So,
nice one.
Right now, it's fantastic as a West Coast. It's got that pininess and resiny flavor that you want. Good malt balance to it too. Jet Fuel is a great name for it because it's 7%, but it tastes like 7%. It's not afraid to be a little punch in the face. 70 IBU on the website. It says they've got Ariana, Callista, and Amarillo in it, and that Amarillo is just fantastic. It comes through very, very nicely. Yeah.
What's the blurb on the can say, bud?
Oh, you're going to make me get my reading glasses here.
Yep, pitter-patter.
Yep.
It says, your mission, provide safe transport of this canister of jet fuel to your personal barracks. Stabilize liquid until you're ready to fill your tank and join the highway to the flavor zone.
Nice.
Proceed with extreme caution. This high-octane West Coast IPA is packed full of hops for a lingering bitterness and juicy stone fruit aromas. Like the historic CF100 Canuck on the label, this beauty is ready to fly and certainly won't clunk out on you.
Oh. I just want to sing Highway to the Flavor Zone.
That's pretty awesome. So how's it taste, bud?
Oh, it's exactly as advertised. It's that kind of piney, bitter, resiny, but not, it's not quite the palate wrecker of old, but it's got hints of that. And then that the nose, you get a nice bready maltiness, and then that stone fruit aroma that it's talking about, like a little bit of even like nectarine almost. It's great. I love it.
That sounds good, man.
I threw a couple pints. I'm a little jealous. Tasting room.
I guaranteed if you just stole a keg, they wouldn't have complained.
They probably would have thanked me with the whistle.
I wouldn't lately,
but
no doubt. Yeah. So should we crack into the three that we have? We've got the Wingman Pale Ale coming up next, right, boys?
Sounds great.
Yeah.
And it's coming at 5.5%. What does it say? Wingman, noun, a pilot. Sorry, I laughed too hard at that one. A pilot whose aircraft is positioned behind.
Goose!
Right? An outside landing aircraft in formation. Also, number two, a man who offers help to another man, friend, or associate. Three, your new favorite pale ale. Oh, they got us there. Made me read it. All right. It's got a nice color to it. Oh, my pour.
Definitely got more hops on the nose for this beer.
Oh, yeah.
Still got kind of that bready, grainy thing going on in the nose.
Still got the bready, grainy thing going on. But you get the malt, a little malt in there.
It's pretty sweet pale ale. It's interesting. It's got kind of like caramelly notes or something. Not enough bitterness for me.
The bitterness is missing a bit.
For not being a juicy beer.
Yeah, no, I get.
Have you tried this one, Carno?
Yeah, I'm getting similar to things you're getting. It's a little more hop forward. I'm into this one a little bit more.
Yeah, this is my favorite of the three so far. As it progresses, I'm liking and liking more.
Yeah, pale ale is a great style that, it's not hard to do well necessarily, but it's always like appreciated by a drinker, I think, or by a consumer. It's just like, it's nice to know you can come back to it anytime. And, you know, another good example.
Yeah, it's one of those.
I've had so few pale ales these days that I'm not even sure what to expect anymore. It's like I'm so used to just going to like straight to IPAs or whatever.
The same way. I'm normally an IPA guy, but I've been finding myself lately. Some of these breweries have been coming out with some really different style. Like you get the hazy pale ales, you get some like this is nice. It's different from what I'm used to from the, like the basic shit, but yeah, no, I could drink this a lot more. This is my favorite so far.
Did you try this one, yep. Cam?
Yeah, it's a really good like little brother to the IPA. I feel like the malt bill. I feel like the malt bill is similar. The hopping may be different, but just that graininess and breadiness in the malts seemed very similar to me when I was drinking it.
So what the beer is, you know, it's kind of annoying, but you still love it anyways.
Well, I kind of feel like it's kind of like when we had Old Yales. It's kind of maybe the same malt build and in this beer is just maybe dialed a little differently, but I'm still getting the breadiness and like consistency. It's just different hops, and you know what I mean? If you know what I mean.
And a little less malt, I'm guessing.
It'd be less malt, so you're getting less sugar, but you know, so you're getting that 5% instead of 7%, and probably not boiled nearly as long. But it's a very good idea or lead up into the IPA.
So, Cam, can I pick your brain here a bit? You went up there, so this brewery's located in Courtney, if I'm not correct, let me know.
No, yeah, that's exactly where it is. It's actually, if you do the Courtney Comox area, you've got Cumberland, you've got Gladstone, you've got Land and Sea.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But New Tradition and Ace. And I feel like I might be missing one, but those five are all within, you know, 15-minute drive of each other. So
yeah, there used to be Forbidden Brewing, right, but it's closed down.
So
unfortunately it lost its fight with the hotel, I think. That really
sucks. So just want to ask you too, so you know, it's like their heritage or their whole thing is like aviation, right?
Yeah,
I was reading that it's like the area's like actually got a historic kind of linked to the Canadian Air Force.
Yeah, there's Air Force Base in Comox.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So another question I have to ask you is, like, you went there. I heard they got some pretty cool tap handles or something like that. They're supposed to look like, what do you call those things? Fucking propellers from airplanes.
Yeah, do you see that? Their tap handles are modeled to look like an old school prop. So the logo is in the circle in the middle, and then the handle extends above and below in like the propeller shape. It's actually pretty sweet.
Oh, that's dope,
man. Their branding is all very much on point. Like their shirts and like their logo is very like military looking.
Aviation, military. Yeah, aviation. I actually was scoping out the hats, and they look pretty dope.
I wanted to buy one of their hats, but they were sold out of them.
Oh, really? I was going to say, because you spent too much beer on us.
I did spend a good chunk of money on beer, too. But
I got a mixer for you, homie. Hope you like backcountry.
Oh, absolutely, I do.
Thanks for being an essential service and going to the island and grabbing the beers for us. Yeah, he's not being, he's not being rude and going over there for no reason. He's essential. Going over there to help work.
Yeah, so am I. Most of us are. So, you were talking about their patio. Did you see it fully set up or?
No, they were in the process of building it when I was there. But it looked like it was going to be a decent size. Right out in their parking lot. So, you could still go into the brewery, grab your beer, and walk out with it. It was kind of an extension of their front door out into the parking lot.
Yeah, that's funny, because when I was reading about them, it actually said that they were planning for a 2020 summer patio. So it's like COVID hit, but they're still on point for doing their whole patio.
Yeah. And they probably got approved way faster this way, which is an unfortunate truth.
Thank God.
Unfortunately, a lot of these patios that are going, I think, are probably not going to be permanent. A lot of this is like temporary things to get people open with more capacity.
Not even necessarily with more capacity. It's just to spread out your existing capacity that's already chopped in half.
That's exactly right. It's to get your capacity in while you can have more space.
Yeah. Although, now, it won't be the day this is released, but as of today, Dr. Bonnie Henry did announce that the 50% capacity thing is being thrown out as of today. And restaurants and restaurants, but I'm sure it'll be breweries too, will be able to put in their plan to make it safe for still having the social distancing and maybe able to increase their capacity. So probably see an increase.
You're seeing people dump patios everywhere. Like that whole thing's coming around now. You see all these patios getting put into parking spaces and if it gets better than that, they'll turn their whole
parking lot into a patio.
Dude.
Yeah. There's rumors of Strange Fellows too having a patio coming up soon, possibly.
I saw Old Yells and they're just like rolling out carpets, parking the food trucks on the carpets. It looks epic, man.
They did
a good job.
Basically the setup they've done for their parking lot parties that they do like three times a summer. But permanent.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get into this. Now that Cardell dropped, we'll get into the drop tank, India Blonde Ale.
This is interesting to me, being an Indian blonde, like, or an IPB? IBB. Oh, wow. Can't even say that.
IBA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
IBA what?
So it's a strong beer, 6.7%. But what's our little blurb say?
Buttresses?
Drop tanks for belly tanks are fixed to the wing bottoms in order to transport fuel. During the Battle of Normandy in 1944, Spitfire pilots and Brie Seeley Crablin to fill drop tanks and deliver chilled beer to soldiers on the front lines. This generously hot blonde ale is meant to be stowed away in your belly tank.
Well, it's definitely not my belly tank, but that kind of sounds like BS to me.
I was just going to say, is this true?
Going to fact check this shit.
Couldn't tell you. But
not really. Not going to fact check this.
Oh, well, let's just enjoy it.
This beer I ordered based on the name alone, because I can't remember ever having an Indian blonde ale.
I've never had one in my life, but I'm on the nose, I'm getting like the like IPA smells like
you get. Big hop notes. Did we say that it was 6.7% alcohol? I don't remember if I heard that.
I did. I'm pretty sure, but I've had a few.
The note the nose is kind of mild, actually. Like you definitely get more hops.
It's a
stuff,
blonde, though. You know what I mean? It smells like an IPA, but like pulled back a bit.
Yeah, this one is 40 IBUs in comparison to their Jet Fuel West Coast, which is 70. So.
Interesting. Like, taking a sip here, it's definitely got that blonde ale sweetness, although it is definitely darker than most blonde ales you'll ever see. But then the hops and the pine and resin kind of build.
You're totally right, dude. I got that. It was like, it's sweet off the front, and then it gets like, you get a little piney resin.
Yeah, it builds.
Well, I got to get another sip of this.
My guess would be it's more aromatic hops or late hop additions versus adding hops in the boil for bittering. But they're using those hops that are usually used for bittering on those later additions. So that's why you're getting still that kind of West Coast IPA smell, but not as bitter.
I'm getting I've had a couple of these beers, but as I like let it resonate and sit in my mouth and like under the tongue for a minute, I do get a little more bitterness to it, which I'm liking a lot.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It's like a yin and yang, this beer, because it's like it starts sweet and then it gets bitter at the end. Like, it's a really weird balance, but I actually really enjoyed it when I was drinking it.
I'm really enjoying the shit of it. It's like a tongue tease. It's going one way, and then just like you said, yin yang, back the other way, and I get that hot bite. It's super sweet to begin with. Not super sweet, but like nice and sweet.
Yeah,
and then
sweeter than most IPAs. Pow.
Yeah, exactly. You get that blondie niche to it, and then it goes, okay, let's have a little hop in here. The hops are nice in this. This is what I'd fuck with out of all four. This would be my jam.
Like, this is definitely West Coast bittering in a blonde ale.
West Coast, yeah, West Coast-ish for sure.
This is no hop like juice bomb or anything.
No, it's not a hazy boy.
Nope. None of these beers are.
No, and that, no, where'd you that's go? Not really anything that's caught on in Courtney Comox area, which is... I mean, honestly, it's kind of a retirement community. But the only thing I've seen close to hazy beers up there when I visited is Gladstone did a they called it a Norwegian IPA, and they did it with Kvik.
Nice.
But that's the only kind of hazy-ish beer I've seen up there. New Tradition had a hazy pale. But when I visited, it had fallen out a bit. It wasn't super hazy. Like, it was a little, but, I mean, the flavors were there. It tasted fine, but it wasn't, you know, that haze bomb that you expect when you're
looking at. Well, when you're in Vancouver, you expect those haze bombs from the boys that do it out here. But this one, like what you said is pretty much on point. They're doing their demographic right. They're hitting who lives around them. I feel like this is a brewery my dad would like. Like, my mom would even have a beer there. I know I say that once in a while, but even my wife. Like, they're not beer drinkers per se, but, like, I can get them to drink stuff like this. Where I'm more looking for, like, that hot punch. You know, I'm a big IPA boy. And but this last one's hitting nicely.
And it's not like they're not adventurous out there either. It's just they're different styles. It's like the island is its own little like ecosystem of beer.
They got their little niche, right? They know what's up.
Like, they have passion fruit guava sour on the menu. They've got I didn't try that one. I tried their Goza. They did a Goza for International Women's Day.
Nice.
They have, and it's called the Tits Up.
Great.
And it was a fantastic Goza. Like, traditional style, salt, coriander, orange. It was a collaboration for International Women's Day, and it was fantastic. Like, dead on so style.
That's perfect. Pink Boots, the Pink Boots brew, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they do that all around. That I love that shit, though. They actually put a lot of good beers out this year. I've had a couple of them.
Like, but they have their top 40 hits, right? Like, they've got their beers that are going to be massive appeal. And then their specialty beers are, like, they're doing a Goza. They're doing a Kettle Sour. They're doing the Belgian Triple. They've got their Nitro Stout. Like, they're still getting out of their
Belgian
country.
Triple.
Wish they're getting out of their comfort zone and, like, experimenting, but it's not the fad, like, haze boy beers and, like, stuff that's on the mainland. The island has its own thing that they're doing and experimenting with.
And then Victoria's a different scene than the rest of the island, too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, Victoria's like a big city vibe. Like, where you're at, Comox Valley is a little less. You got more retirees, like you were saying. So I feel like even you're talking about getting out of their comfort zone, this, what is it, an IBA, is totally different than anything I've ever had. Like, most people grabbing for driftwood and, like, hoppiness. And it's like most people in their retirement age aren't looking for that hot punch to the face, but this India Blonde Ale is perfect for somebody. Like, I would drink this around a campfire, like six pack, no problem.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it was great. Like I said, I was there on a hot day, and it went down very nicely in that weather. Like it almost like I love IPAs and the West Coast, yep. But I think the IBA, the India Blonde Ale there,
yeah,
is a better summertime beer than the IPA because it makes you want to come back for more that much quicker than an IPA does.
And it's a little more sweetness to it. You're 100% yeah. Right, Cam. I also thought the same thing about the, what was it? What did we try? The Wingman Pale Ale too was like kind of like that. Something you could drink, even the cream ale. It's something you could drink in the sun on a patio and not be upset and like tired of it after like one or two.
Yeah, it's the island, right? Everybody's a lot more laid back. You don't need those extremes so much. Like just chill vibes. It'll happen yeah. when it happens, and just drink your beer and enjoy it, man. Like,
yeah,
fuck yeah.
Well, I guess we're through the four beers now. What's your favorite beer of the four?
Cam, you want to hit it first, man? Because I gotta think a minute here.
I mean, I'm gonna be the asshole and say the Belgian because
dick.
Because I got you to try. It.
we'll be the assholes that are drinking the beers we're talking about tonight.
But of the ones that I brought back for you guys, the IBA was the most interesting and the one that I like. When I go back, I'm gonna order it.
Like, nice.
So. Nice.
What about you, buddy?
It's kind of a toss up between the Drop Tank IBA, the India Blonde Ale, and weirdly enough for me, I think I would say the Kitty Hawk Honey Cream Ale.
Holy fuck. You just took my words out of my mouth. Like, honestly, the IBA was delicious. It had that like that hop kind of that I was hoping for from every beer. But it was still sweet and a little chill. But that, what is it called? The Kitty Hawk Honey Cream Ale. It was one of those ones that I could be sipping on in 30-degree weather, sitting on a patio and being like, I don't think the flavor is going to change too much. I'm still going to get that honey note. And I think I could drink that a lot. So first, Drop Tank. Second, Kitty Hawk.
Awesome. I guess we can wrap this episode up then. So thanks for tuning in. You can check us out at pacificbeerchat.com. You can actually buy our merch that we always forget to talk about at pacificbeerchat.threadless.com. Get shirts and all kinds of shit on there. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/pacificbeerchat. Shout out to our patrons, Steve and Indie Beer Show. And cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.